This great doubt cannot become a mere object of awareness or consciousness. It's much more real and immediate than that. As a mere object of awareness, it tends to degenerate into endless speculative questions about it, precisely what Bonnke and others warned against. Let it be what it really is. There's no need to contrive. Don't get, as Bonnke says, stuck in another man's tub. Self can't really escape this great doubt, but self can't turn it into an object that it can then control either. Now what do you do about it? Is the direction becoming clear? If it's not clear, Zen practice can sink into an unhealthy, unnatural desire, really a kind of escape into calm and clear mind states, insights, so-called enlightenment experiences that the self assumes will solve all its problems, all the while leaving the fundamental self-delusion untouched. See for yourself. Such states and experiences are a part of the dis-ease. Dis-ease is a way of rendering the first noble truth of Buddhism, that we cannot come finally, fully to rest in anything. Simply open yourself up to your own great doubt, and you can avoid such kinds of problems. There's no room for such delusions here. Now, how do you arouse the great doubt? First, one very good way, not the only way, but a very good way, is through sustained zazen meditation, gathering all of your energy into one. This is what in Buddhism is called a samadhi, a concentrated oneness, that is completely natural. It's completely calm and attentive, focused, yet open. There's a constant energy that nothing can stop. You see the great value of a retreat where we spend a week deepening and sustaining this. Ego self's endless escapades, escapes, and vicious cycles are rendered powerless, at least for now. Be aware they may come back later in that kind of experience. In Japanese Soto Zen, there are two main schools, Rinzai and Soto, but you don't have to worry about that. In Japanese Soto Zen, it is spoken of as shikantaza in Japanese, shikantaza, which means just sitting in the sense of pure and uncontrived sitting in meditation. But it's not mere sitting in blankness or in mere clarity. Dogen, who was the father of Soto Zen in Japan, clearly struggled with the great doubt since he was young and had it resolved through a decisive awakening he called body-mind fallen off. Body-mind is simply a Buddhist way of speaking of the self in its totality. Body-mind fallen off. He even says, Dogen says in his classic early work, Bendoa, which means something like negotiating the way, Isho sangaku no daiji koku ni owarinu, which means, with this, the one great matter of my entire life was resolved. Where, I wonder, is this Dogen Zen today? It's true, though. Just sitting is enough if it is thoroughgoing. There can be no thought of doubt, let alone awakening. Sitting itself is great doubt awakening. That is real Soto Zen. It is the Genjo Koan, as it's called in Soto Zen. The koan, the ultimate problem or challenge, manifest right here and now. Do you see how pure, how simple, and how difficult, how uncompromising, real, just sitting is? Again, the great value of a retreat like this is clear. By the way, Poshan, who I quoted earlier, was one of the leading Soto Zen masters of the Ming Dynasty in China. Once again, as a process, first, all becomes fused, so to speak, fused into one concrete whole. The whole self-complex, what Dogen called body-mind, the whole self-complex, all our thoughts, feelings, emotions, will itself, the entire self-complex naturally becomes stuck, as I suggest in the title, getting stuck, becomes stuck or frozen. All comes to a stop in a most marvelous way. Once again, this is what could be called the benefit of the doubt. Hakuin, who was a Japanese Rinzai Zen reformer about 250 years ago, he spoke of it as like sitting in an ice cave 10,000 miles thick. Not so hard to understand in the recent weather, eh? He's describing it very accurately. There is no outflow through any of the senses, nor really is there any inflow. And yet, everything is there, crystal clear, like an ice cave. But nothing is objectified or turned into something. We don't discursively think or judge. Everything is fully open and available. But we are not, so to speak, doing anything. We are not tinkering with it, which is almost impossible for the ordinary self, isn't it? That kind of a state is a good beginning for real Zen practice. To bring all of the activities of thought, feeling, and will naturally to a stop. Echoing Poshan, Hakuin said, to all intents and purposes, Zen practice makes as its essential the resolution of this doubt block. Thus it is said, at the bottom of great doubt lies great awakening. If you doubt fully, you will awaken fully. It is also said, if you don't doubt the koans, you suffer a grave disease. Hakuin continues, if those who practice Zen are able to arouse the great doubt, 100 out of 100, 1,000 out of 1,000 will without fail awaken. Well, this is Hakuin's way of putting it. Once great doubt is the real koan, the real problem question that we are, then there's no danger of self breaking into mystic states of oneness and abiding there. Nor is there danger of self getting attached to feelings of being beyond time or space, breaking out of time and space. Yes, these experiences are quite common. rather than breaking into mystical oneness or breaking out of the sense of time and space, rather the point is breaking through the separation, the doubt that is self. That is what Dogen meant when he spoke of Shinjin Datsudaku, or body, mind, fallen off. The separation, the doubt that self is gone, that's all. That is where genuine Zen statements, including the ones I started with, arise from. And also where another kind of practice begins. For those of you here for the retreat, give yourself fully to the practice and know this for yourself. That's the only way. That's what a retreat is for. That is the value of sustained Zazen Samadhi, or the concentrated oneness, not only in Zazen, but of course in Zazen as well. Beware of states of mind. Huh? For example, waiting for some kind of enlightenment or insight. That is not the great doubt. That is actually abiding in the state of ignorance, isn't it? If you're waiting for some enlightenment, you are abiding in ignorance. There's no room for that here. Again, beware of breaking into or indulging in pure, calm, quiet states of mind. Yes, they can be very appealing. Or breaking out of time and space. These experiences happen. But these are all what in Buddhism are called samsaric experiences. In other words, they are within the realm of the ego self. They are themselves part of the dis-ease. In a sense, the self is only chasing its own tail, tying itself up with a rope of its own making. Held on to such experiences can become a real problem or entanglement. With great doubt, such problems are avoided. It's quite natural. There's no fluff to get lost in. But what about the present practices in Zen centers worldwide of so-called just sitting? Koan practice reduced to gaining insights, or what are called kensho experiences. The Zen of increased self-efficiency, success, etc. Where do these practices really lead? Where do they end up? Failing to even recognize the great doubt underfoot, they actually lead astray, away from resolving the great matter of life and death, don't they? As Layman Pang of the Tang Dynasty put it, unwilling to pull out the root of the disease, they just fool with the flowery branches. Beware. A few weeks ago in Japan, Varant Jisho kindly gave me a wooden calligraphy, piece of calligraphy. Do you remember? Yeah. Very fine piece of calligraphy. And it is the calligraphy of the master who founded the Myo Shinji Monastery 650 years ago. In his kind of final words, he wrote this, Ko Sonomoto Tsutomeyo, which is very difficult to translate, but it's something like, beware, keep your eye on the fundamental. He actually says in that context, keep your eye on the fundamental. Don't get hung up in the branches and leaves, which is a common earlier Chinese expression. Daye Dahui says, for example, go for the root. Don't worry about the branches. Indeed, there's nothing new under the sun with these Zen statements. It has always been round, hasn't it? My Dharma granddad, Shibayama Zenke, at Colgate University, where I just visited a few days ago, back in the late 60s, early 70s, in his encounters with Americans, he wrote the following, which I think still is relevant today. quoting from Shibayama Zenke. Often I come across people who just naively believe that samadhi, concentrated oneness, samadhi in art or no mind in expert skill, is the same as that of Zen because of their superficial resemblance. According to them, there can naturally be dancing Zen, painting Zen, piano playing Zen, or laboring Zen. This is an extremely careless misunderstanding. They have failed to see the basic difference between Zen and psychological absorption in an art or skill. I'm afraid there's not time tonight to go into the 10 short sections of Poshan's admonitions for those unable to arouse the doubt, but in the retreat we will go through all of them. Just to give you an idea, I will give you the titles. There were no titles in the original, but I gave them titles, taking into account their content. He wrote about, he calls it a disease, a Zen byō, or a kind of a Zen sickness, where you're practicing but you go astray. The disease of intellectual and anti-intellectual. The second is the disease of quiet meditation. The third is suppression. The fourth, emptiness. The fifth, speculation. The sixth, spirits, or perhaps believing in spirits. The seventh, acting out. We call it performance Zen. The eighth, asceticism. The ninth, self-indulgence. And the tenth, putting on airs, or faking enlightenment, you might say. If there's time in the questions period and anyone is interested, I can read. Each one is less than a page long. To sum up, to find your own living, real koan, your own great Tao, or using a traditional koan that helps you to rouse your own and see it through to the end. That's all there is. For those of you just here for the lecture, in the Zazen period following the lecture, there will be a chance for one-on-one if you would like to get to the bottom of this. Simply rise quietly from your seat during Zazen, come over in front of me and bow. I will bow to you, then follow me out and we will go to a room for one-on-one. Simply a chance to get to the bottom of yourself with another. But if, for example, right now you are in great pain, that's it. That'll do. Just don't separate from it. Instead, enter it. Who is suffering? Right there is the end of the self that suffers. Finally, this great doubt is the doubt that is you. It's not some abstract doubt about your existence. It's the doubt that I am, that you are. How can that be imitated or learned from another? Give yourself in all sincerity. How can you not realize this doubt? No need to waste time thinking, maybe I don't have that kind of doubt, or maybe I need more doubt, or maybe I need his doubt. Simply remain open to what's in your own heart, under your own feet. Don't avoid it, instead embrace it. That's all you need. Especially for those of you just here for the lecture, what about this doubt in ordinary life, in our relations with others? Won't it interfere? If it's real, you will find it's just what is needed. Relations with others are transformed. Embracing and seeing through our own doubt, we can truly open up, make room, respond to the need of the other. See for yourself. Rejoice. Be joyful Where you are right now is right where you need to be. You couldn't be in a better situation. You don't need another thing. As mentioned, when someone struggling with this said, "I am so poor, Master, please enrich me," what was the response? The master called out the monk's name. "Jean." The monk replied, "Yes." The master responded, "You've just had 3 glasses of the finest Pinot Noir. How can you say your lips have not been moistened?" Well, okay, maybe I modernized it a bit, but you get the point. For those of us here for the week, for the retreat, let us throw ourselves into it. Thank you all for listening so intently. Do we have a minute or two if there are any immediate questions? Does anyone have an immediate question or concern? Please feel free to speak up. If not, I would suggest we take a break until 8:30, then we'll sit from 8:30 to 9. If any of you have to leave, please feel free to leave, but we will be sitting from 8:30 to 9, you're welcome to join us. So we'll take a few minute break and come back and begin by 8:30. Is that okay, Tina?
Sure.